This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's session of قريب مجيب, my Lord is ever near, my Lord is ever responsive. Inshallah, we'll be going over some du'as related to stability on guidance, firmness on hidayah, on guidance. And the first and the most important dua that we already make every day of our lives is the dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, that our Lord guide us to the straight path. And this dua we make in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is a surah, which is basically a dua, a prayer. And this is a dua that we make in every salah, in every rak'ah. And this shows us how important the prayer for guidance is. Now, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. But what exactly is guidance? What exactly is hidayah? Hidayah is to direct someone to the right path. It is to ensure that they remain on the right path. And then you make sure that they also reach the destination. So for instance, when you put your destination on Google Maps, then what happens? It not only shows you the way, but when you ask it to guide you on the way, then what happens? If you ever take a wrong turn, or if you miss an exit, it will ensure that you get back on the right path. And then it will make sure that you reach your destination. And if you keep going off the path, it will keep guiding you back on it. So this is the concept of guidance, that you not only show someone what the right path is, but you ensure that they remain on it, and then you make them reach the correct destination also. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, that, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, we are asking Allah to direct us to the right path, not the wrong path, but the right path. And then we're also asking Allah to enable us to remain on the right path, to protect us from going off the right track, from veering off. And then we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to remain on it, to grant us firmness, stability, steadfastness on it, so that we reach the right destination, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. And ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, in this ayah, we are taught to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of knowledge, for guidance towards the truth, guidance of tawfiq, yani the ability to follow the truth, to adopt the truth, to live the truth. And then the guidance of tasbit, istiqamah, any stability and firmness for all our life. We're asking Allah that, oh Allah, inspire us to do things that please you. Teach us to do things in the way that please you and lead us toward guidance and success. And remember that as human beings, our success is in reaching Jannah, reaching paradise, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ, that the person who is saved from hellfire and then they're admitted into paradise, then such a person has attained success. And this is ultimate success. Ultimate success is not in this life. It is not in this world. Because no matter what level you reach in this life, no matter what you get, your question is, what next? In Jannah, there is no what next, because it is ultimate success. And Jannah is attained through Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ, وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, then that religion will never be accepted from that person. And he will be in the hereafter of those who are losers. So when we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, we are asking Allah to give us the ability to leave every deen, every religion, and hold on to Islam. Ya Allah, give me the ability to hold on to Islam, to strengthen us in our Islam. And Ibn Sa'di says that in this verse, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for truth, that Ya Allah, enable us to recognize the truth and lead us towards it and make us adhere to it. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of Islam, for the ability to adhere to it, and to guide us to all of the teachings of Islam, all of the different aspects of Islam. So for example, part of Islam is that a person prays salah regularly 5 times a day. So when we ask Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, we're asking Allah, part of this dua is that we're asking Allah, give me the ability to pray. Teach me how to pray properly in a way that is pleasing to you. Give me the ability to pray in an excellent way. So likewise, zakat, this is a part of Islam. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم means you're asking Allah for the ability to calculate your zakat correctly on time and then give it in the best way, in the right place. So every single aspect of Islam, of deen, everything that is pleasing to Allah, every deed or word, big or small, any action, internal, external, manifest, private, anything that is related to Islam, all of that is included in this dua. So اهدنا الصراط المستقيم is a very comprehensive and a very beneficial dua that every single person is in need of. And we see that our 5 daily prayers are based on it. Yani, if you think about it, in salah, what are we doing? We begin with sana, with the praise of Allah, right? We recite Surah Al-Fatiha, which is dua. And then after that, we recite some Quran. We go in rukur, we praise Allah, we glorify Allah. We stand up, again we glorify and praise Allah. We go into sajda, again we glorify and praise Allah. And the rest of the salah also is mainly what? We are glorifying and praising Allah. So, the beginning of salah, end of salah, middle of salah is all praise and glorification of Allah. And we are basically asking for one thing, and that is that we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And if a person does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, their salah is not valid. If a person misses Surah Al-Fatiha in a rak'ah, that rak'ah is not valid. A person has to repeat the entire rak'ah. So salah is based on this dua. So 5 times a day, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah, for guidance, because we are always in need of it. A person can never have enough of hidayah. You know, for example, if a person is praying to have children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them 2, 3, 4, 5 children, then what happens? You know, this is not a dua that they make anymore because they're happy. They're satisfied with the children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. A person prays for wealth and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a lot of rizq, a lot of sustenance. So, you know, you are very satisfied. You are happy with what Allah has given you. When it comes to guidance, a person can never say, I am content and satisfied with the amount of guidance that Allah has given me, so I don't need to ask for more. No, it doesn't matter how much guidance you have. The fact is that you are always in need of more and better guidance, which is why you say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم in one rak'ah, and then in the next rak'ah, again, you make the same request, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Now remember that guidance is of different kinds. The first level of guidance is general guidance, or you can say intuition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in every creature. So we learn that سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created and fashioned everything, and the one who has measured the decree of everything, And then he has also guided every creature. الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. That he gave every creature its unique form, and then he also guided every creature. So for example, a bird knows how to eat, where to find its food, what to avoid, right? Even, you know, human beings, we know, you know, for example, a baby knows how to suck, how to drink milk, right? So each creature is guided in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught it how to breathe, how to live, how to eat, etc. So this is the basic general level of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to each creature. Then a greater level of guidance is the level of knowledge, where through the prophets and messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught people how to do things in a better way, in a way that is pleasing to Allah. And when people learn those ways and follow those ways, then they're brought out of darkness into light. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is addressed in the Quran that وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, that indeed you guide to the straight path. How? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught people what the straight path is, how to do things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third level of guidance is the ability, or tawfiq, the ability to adopt guidance, to accept the truth, to not only recognize the truth, but accept it, to internalize guidance. So this is guidance that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give, because he is the one who opens the hearts of people, and he is the one who allows everything to come together so that a person can adopt guidance, internalize it, and then also act upon it and do what is right. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. He says to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that indeed you cannot guide whom you love, meaning you cannot make people accept guidance, no matter how much you love them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his uncle Abu Talib, but he was not able to make Abu Talib accept Islam. He could only tell him, he could only inform him, he could only show him the way. Now, how was Abu Talib to accept that guidance when he would have that willingness and that yearning and that desire to accept guidance? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would also give him tawfiq. But Abu Talib did not have that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him tawfiq. So we learn, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is Allah who guides whom he wills. So this is the third level of guidance, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives ability to people to accept and internalize guidance. Then the fourth level of guidance is guidance on the Day of Judgment, where a person is directed toward paradise or toward hellfire. So we learn that on the Day of Judgment, as people of paradise will enter paradise, they will say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada. All praise is to Allah who guided us to this, and who showed us the way to paradise. We learn that on the Day of Judgment, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا, that the people of taqwa will be taken, will be driven to paradise in groups. Any people will be taken, guided toward paradise. And then there will be others who will be fahduhum ila siratil jahim, who will be guided, meaning they will be led to the path of hellfire, meaning Jahannam will be their destination. So this is the fourth level of guidance, where a person will be directed to their final destination, either Jannah or Jahannam. Now think about it. If you want to reach a destination, then there's a couple of things that you need before you can get to that destination. So for instance, if you're going to drive over there, first and foremost, you need to know how to drive. You need knowledge, right? You need a license. Then having knowledge of driving, having a license alone is not enough. You also need a vehicle. a means of transportation, something that you can drive. So knowledge alone is not enough. You also need tawfiq. You also need the ability from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the means, to give you the opportunity, to give you the ability to obey Him, to worship Him, to do things in the best way. And then a vehicle alone is not enough. You also need gas, right? And then you need the directions, you need the map. And then on the road, you need patience and determination and focus. Because what happens with some people is that as they're driving, they get distracted. Oh, there's a mall over here. Oh, there's a beach over here. And then they forget where they were going and they get distracted by things on the way. Sometimes what happens is that you are driving towards your destination, but then the roads are closed. So you need the roads to be open as well. And sometimes, more than that, you also need experience. You need courage. You need experience as to how to drive on a certain road through certain traffic and how to get to a certain destination. So we learn Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that the final stage of guidance is that a person is put on the path to paradise. And the one who was guided to the straight path in the world will be put on the right path to paradise, which is the home of reward. And a person's feet will be firm on that path in proportion to the firmness of his feet on the straight path in the world. You see, on the day of judgment, we all have to cross the sirat, the path, which, remember, it is actually suspended over hellfire. And that is the only way to paradise. So, how can a person cross that path, which is sharper than a sword, thinner than a hair? SubhanAllah, how can a person cross that? How can a person have stability and firmness on that path? How? It is only possible to have stability and firmness on that path if a person was stable and firm on the right path in the world, on Sirat al-Mustaqim in the world. So, the way you are journeying on the straight path right now in this life is the way that you will cross that path on the day of judgment. So you need experience to cross that path. How do you get that experience in this world? How swift are you in obedience to Allah? How consistent are you in obedience to Allah? How much attention do you put in doing things the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with? So this is the final level of guidance. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all levels of guidance. That Ya Allah, guide me in my worldly matters. Sometimes you're struggling to do basic things. For example, you're struggling to even stand on your feet or to walk or to work for long or read. Your eye may be constantly twitching or something like that, because of which you're struggling to do basic things even. And then sometimes you are struggling to accept the truth, yani, or you're struggling to find the right answers. You are struggling with your actions. Yani, you know in theory what the reward of fasting is and how we should be fasting, etc. But when it comes to actually fasting in an excellent way, then we are falling short in our actions. Sometimes, we are inconsistent. We know what to do and we're doing it, but we're not very consistent. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, we're asking Allah for all of these levels of guidance. And remember that guidance is more important than anything else in your life. It is even more important than the food you eat. Because, in fact, the ulama say that there is actually no comparison between guidance and even your most basic necessities, such as food. Why? Because the one who is given guidance becomes of the muttaqin. And the person who has taqwa, who is conscious of Allah, who is pious, who is righteous, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will show him the way out of every trouble, and Allah will give him sustenance from where he cannot even expect. Yani, if you have hidayah, if you have guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also provide you sustenance. Taqwa, iman, guidance is the key to worldly success also. This doesn't mean that we pray and we fast and we give sadaqah, etc., so that we can live a wealthy, easy, disease-free life in the world. That's not the goal. But that is a benefit, a side benefit. The real goal is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you please Allah, when Allah is on your side, then all of your needs will be taken care of. Then you will not have to chase after the little things in life. And when a person is left to his own to take care of themselves, then their life becomes incredibly hard, very, very difficult. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the matters of his slave, then the slave's life becomes worry-free and it becomes very easy. So this is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the key to success. And that is hidayah, guidance. And remember that we are in need of guidance in every matter of our lives, every single matter of our lives. Because, you know, every moment of our lives, we are doing something, right? We are choosing to do something. We are making a decision to do something or not do something. So, for example, sometimes we're talking and we have a tendency to, for instance, move our hands a lot. And that is fine. But what is a better way of talking? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would address people and when he would give khutbah, how would he move his hands? We learned that he would just use the pointer finger. He wouldn't be, you know, waving his arms back and forth and raising his arms, you know, up and down constantly. No, he would just use his pointer finger. Subhanallah. So imagine now, if a person is talking, and yes, they are expressive and they're using their hands, but they use their pointer finger, then what happens? They're rewarded for using their pointer finger in the way that the Prophet ﷺ did while talking. So, subhanAllah, now their hand gestures even are a means of earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Isn't this beautiful? Any, there are so many things that we do in one day. So many actions that we do without even thinking. And not every action is necessarily a religious action. But if we do our worldly actions also in a way that are pleasing to Allah, in a way that the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated, then imagine we are earning hasanat. We're earning good deeds for the mundane even. So we are in need of guidance, improvement, in every matter of our lives. And you think about it. When it comes to, you know, perfecting something and beautifying something, then you pay attention to a lot of detail, right? For instance, I'm sure women can relate with this very well, that a full face of makeup is what? Is it just a little bit of lipstick and maybe some eyeliner and that's it? No. Any, there is even a way of no makeup, makeup, right? There's a certain type of, you know, layering that you do on your face in different ways, using different products, right? Why? Because you are paying attention to detail. You're paying attention to detail. And subhanAllah, if we can put in so much effort on a regular basis and so much money just to look a certain way, just to look a certain way, just to get the right shade, just to get the right, you know, effect from the side of the face, etc. Why can we not strive to earn the pleasure, the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be everlasting? How long do you keep your makeup on for? Not very long. In fact, if you make wudu regularly, then you cannot keep it on for very long anyway. Subhanallah. So why can we not exert effort and learn ways of improving our actions, our worship, in order to earn the eternal approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we cannot do that without guidance from Allah. So we are in need of guidance in every matter of our lives, whether it is something that is external, that is visible, or it is something that is internal, that is hidden. It could be a very private matter of our lives. It could be something deep in our heart. Whatever it is, we need guidance related to that. So, for example, we need guidance toward tawbah, toward repentance, for mistakes that we have made, for things that we have done in ignorance. Or, you know, we may be doing things in a way that is not perfect and complete. There is room for improvement. For instance, if we're reciting Quran, right, we may be reciting correctly in the sense that we're not making any major mistakes. But if you recite to a teacher, they will stop you at every letter, every word, and they will direct you to improve your recitation. You may be praying Salah thinking that you're praying perfectly fine. But when you ask someone to check how you're praying, someone of knowledge, they might correct you that you should be sitting in this way. You know, your toes should be facing that way. Or when you're making rukur, your back needs to be more straight. You know, what you're reciting can be improved. So there's always a need of improving and perfecting the actions that we are already doing. Sometimes we have the willingness to do something, but we don't have the ability. Allahu Akbar. We want to do something, but we don't have the ability to do it. So when we ask Allah for guidance, we're asking Allah for the ability to do good also. Sometimes we have the ability, but not the willingness. Subhanallah. We may have the money sitting with us, but we don't have the willingness. We don't have the knowledge, the intention to spend it in the right way, in a good place. We ask Allah for guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends someone our way who shows us, who tells us that, oh, you can give this much money over here for such and such cause. And it may be a little amount of money, but you give it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like that, increases you in guidance. And sometimes, you know, you are doing good currently in the present, but there's no guarantee that you will continue to do these good deeds in the future. Doesn't it happen that a person is doing something good at a certain time, but then 5 years later, 10 years later, things change? They're no longer doing what they used to do. They stop. They discontinue. Why? Because doing that particular action, doing that particular good deed became very hard for them. It became very difficult for them. Their nafs prevented them, or the fear of people or whatever prevented them. So they no longer had the ability to continue. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, we're asking Allah for guidance in the future also. So look at this. We're asking Allah for hidayah, to repent, to increase in guidance, to have the ability to do good, to have the willingness to do good, and to remain guided and to increase in guidance in the future. So when you say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, that, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, keep all of these matters in your mind. That, Ya Allah, guide me to repent from sins and errors that I have made out of ignorance. Give me the ability to remain consistent. Give me the ability to be guided in the future also. Increase me in my taqwa and perfect my guidance in all my matters. Now, when it comes to hidayah, stability on guidance, this is something that is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that fastaqim kama umirta. Fastaqim. Now be steadfast as you have been commanded. Meaning right now you're on the right path, remain on the right path. Have istiqama, have stability. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger in the Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that walawla an thabbatnaka laqad kitta tarkanu ilayhim shay'an qalila. If we had not given you stability, you would have almost inclined to them a little bit. Yani, you would have inclined to accepting the request of the mushrikeen a little bit. And you did not, because we gave you stability. Subhanallah, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in need of stability on right guidance, then what about us? We are in greater need of istiqama, of stability and right guidance. We can never think that, oh, I have guidance, I'm a Muslim, I pray five times a day, I wear the hijab, I'm fine. You know, I want to know other du'as. The du'as of guidance, I already have this. No, we are always in need of guidance. We are in extreme need of guidance, no matter what our level is. Even if we just did Hajj and we have done 10 Umrahs and we have a habit of reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran every single day. We do Quran Khatma every 7 days. We send salawat to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 100,000 times a day. No matter what our level is, no matter what good deeds we do, remember we are still in need of guidance. Because if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam needed tasbeet, he needed istiqama, then we need it even more. And remember that the condition of the heart is such that it is ever changing. The heart is not stagnant. It's constantly changing. Salama radiallahu anha was asked that what dua did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam make most frequently? And she replied that he would say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. That, O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm on your religion. Salama said that I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that how come, you know, you make this dua a lot? Why? And she was implying that you are the Prophet of Allah. You are already firm on the religion of Allah. Why do you keep asking Allah to keep your heart firm on his religion? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, O Salama, there is no person except that his heart is between the two fingers of the fingers of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who makes steadfast whom he wills, and he causes to deviate whomever he wills. Yani, there is no guarantee that your heart will remain as it is. Because the nature of the heart is that it changes. It turns. It shifts. This is the nature of the heart. Ibn Qayyim said that when the slave comes to know that Allah is muqallibul qulub, the turner of the hearts, and that anna Allah yahulu bayn al mar'i wa qalbi, that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'n, every day Allah is bringing about a new matter, and that yaf'alu ma yasha, he does what he wills, and يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ, he commands what he wills, and يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, he guides whom he wills to the straight path, and يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, he sends astray whom he wills, and تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, he honors whom he wills and abases whom he wills. When a person comes to know about this, then such a slave, such a person, does not become free of fear. He is afraid lest his heart is turned away, or lest Allah prevents him from guidance, or turns his heart after having guided him. And this is the reason why Ibn Qayyim says that Allah praises those slaves who say, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. That, O our Lord, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us, and grant us from yourself special mercy. Indeed, you are the bestower of gifts. Ibn Qayyim says that if there was no fear of the hearts becoming deviated, they would not make this dua. There is a chance that the heart can get deviated after having been guided. This is why they pray to Allah, that, O Allah, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the heart is called qalb, innama summi al-qalbu, the qalb is called the qalb. Why? Because of taqallubihi, because of its constant turning about. And he said, innama mathalu al-qalbi kamathali rishatin mu'allaqatin fi asli shajaratin. That the example of the heart is like that of a feather that is hanging off of a tree. And what happens to a feather that is hanging from a tree? The wind turns it about from one direction to another. Because it's so light and it's hanging off from the tree, what will happen is the wind blows. It doesn't have to be a fast wind or a tornado. No, a light breeze even is enough to change the direction of that feather. One moment it's facing one way, another moment it has turned around, it's spinning, right? And now it's facing another way. This is the state of the heart, that the different circumstances in life and the different desires and temptations, you know, of the nafs and the waswasa of shaitan and the things that we see around us, they constantly turn the state of our heart. Any 1 second we are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what happens the very second, the very next moment, you know, we are tempted to do something else, to do something that is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, we learn that the heart of the son of Adam turns about faster than the boiling pot. And if you have noticed how, for example, a pot of water is boiling, when you want water to boil, before you put, for example, pasta or rice or something in it, then it's bubbling, right? And in the bubbling water, there is a lot of intensity, a lot of speed. And you see how the bubbles are constantly rising to the surface, constantly. And the water is constantly turning about. It comes to the surface out of pressure, and then it goes back down. And then from the pressure again, it rises to the surface. SubhanAllah, this is how the heart is, that it is also constantly changing, constantly turning. There's, you know, a constant flow of different emotions, different feelings, different thoughts, different ideas, different conditions that go through our heart. And we see that the prophets of Allah, they were people of faith, they were people of yaqeen, yet they prayed for themselves. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. He broke the idols with his own hands, yet he made dua, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, that, O my Lord, protect me and my children from worshipping idols. Can you imagine? Ibrahim alayhi salam broke idols with his own hands. He left his family. He left his father. Why? Because of these idols. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. And subhanAllah, he is the one who is making dua. Ya Allah, you protect me. There's no guarantee in the future. I don't have any control over myself in the future. I don't know what will become of me. So you protect me from ever worshipping idols, me and my children. This is why we make dua that la takilni ila nafsi tarfat ayn, that, oh my Lord, do not leave me to my nafs for even the blink of an eye. Yusuf alayhi salam, look at the dua that he made. Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin, that, O my Lord, cause me to die as a Muslim and join me with the righteous. When did he make this dua? He made this dua after he had endured what he endured in the house of Aziz and in the prison. And then as he was brought out of there, and then he was given power, subhanAllah, his family is reunited. All these years, he has been making the right choices. His tests were very difficult, but he was making right choices. Still, he makes dua, oh Allah, allow me to die as a Muslim. And he, up until this point, okay, I have been in submission to you, but I don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. What test might come that can turn us away from right guidance? And it is necessary that we keep working, striving to strengthen and renew our faith. This is why we are obligated to pray 5 times a day. We are obligated to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just once a day, not once a month, not once a week, but 5 times a day, every single day. No matter what day it is, it could be the day that you're getting married. It could be the day that you're taking your, you know, exam, like a really serious, difficult exam. Still, you have to pray 5 times a day, no matter what. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that certainly faith, yani iman, it becomes old inside of you, just as clothes, your clothes become old. Yani your clothes, over time, what happens? they become old. You know, sometimes there's a tear, there's a rip, and you know, you have to kind of fix it, right? You have to mend your clothes as they become old. You know, you have to wash them, you have to iron them, you have to fix them. So just like that, your iman also inside of you becomes old. So you need to renew it. He said, pray to Allah to renew your faith in your heart. So this is why we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim in every salah. And we have to be firm until we die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa'bud Rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Worship your Lord until certainty comes to you, meaning until you die. Wala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Do not die except while you are Muslim in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, the speed and manner in which we proceed on the straight path in this world is the same speed and manner in which we go on the Sirat, on the bridge, on the Day of Judgment. In hadith, we learn that some people will proceed on the path in the blink of an eye. Yani they will cross the path, how? As quickly as you blink your eye, you close and you open your eye. Other people will cross it in speed of lightning. Some will cross it as fast moving clouds. And sometimes you see the clouds in the sky, how they're moving so quickly. Other people will cross the bridge like shooting stars. Some will cross the bridge like a fast blowing wind. Some will cross the bridge like running horses, and some like people that are running. And some will have to crawl on all fours on their hands and feet. Allahu Akbar. And the ulama say this is because هَلْ تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Are you being recompensed except for what you used to do? Meaning your condition on the Day of Judgment will be exactly how your spiritual state was in the world. So the way that a person is on Sirat al-Mustaqim in this life is the way that they will be on that Sirat on the Day of Judgment. Now the question is, how can we have steadfastness on the straight path? Well, the first thing is that we recognize, we know that it is Allah who enables people to be firm on the straight path. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. It is Allah who gives stability to those people who believe through the firm word, meaning La ilaha illallah, in worldly life and also in the hereafter. It's not your strength, your grit, your knowledge, your family, your circumstances, or your person, your inner strength, your self-discipline, etc., that enables you to be firm on the straight path. No, this is purely from Allah Azza wa Jal. So ask Allah to increase you in guidance, to keep you firm on guidance. Another thing is that we have to do our part, which is that we should adhere to iman and taqwa. Yani, we should believe and adopt ways of increasing and strengthening our belief and increasing in our piety, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O you who have believed, fear Allah and believe in His Messenger, and Allah will give you double portion of His mercy, and He will give you a light with which you will walk on the Day of Judgment and also in this world, and Allah will pardon your sins for you. When will this happen? If you fear Allah and you believe. Then another thing is that we must hold on to the Quran, because the Quran is what? It is the rope of Allah. And we learn that it is al-haq, it is the truth, and it has been revealed. Why? لِيُثَبِّتَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives firmness and stability to those who believe. And when you hold on to the Quran, that you recite it, you reflect on it, you keep learning it, you keep studying it, then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also keep you firm and steadfast on the right path. So find a way, some way of holding on to the Quran. And your life is unique. So you have to see what is possible for you. How can you connect with the Quran at a better level, at a stronger level? How can you strengthen your connection? Another important thing is that we should keep learning. Keep learning the deen. And you never think that Islamic studies that you studied at school, all right, or in Sunday school, at the weekend school, or you know, a course that you studied once upon a time, or a class that you took on a weekend, a lecture that you heard randomly, you know, 5 weeks ago, that is sufficient. Alhamdulillah, these things definitely help, but it is necessary that we keep learning. We keep learning. So for example, even if you go for Jumu'ah khutbah, and you select a place where, you know, there are quality khutbahs, where you actually learn something. And when you go and sit in the khutbah, and you pay attention, listen attentively, try to remember what you heard. If something was difficult to comprehend, go ask the imam. Go ask questions, seek clarification, and otherwise also find a way in which you can continue to increase in your Islamic knowledge. Because knowledge, remember, it is nur, and ignorance is darkness. And we learn that Allah is the friend of those who believe, and He brings them out of darkness into light. So find ways of learning, of increasing in your knowledge, because when you increase in your knowledge, you have greater confidence, you have better akhlaq, you have strength in your actions, you have the motivation to continue. Also, learn about the lives of the righteous, especially the prophets of Allah. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the stories of His prophets. Why? مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. So that we strengthen your heart with it. We stabilize your heart with it. These stories are an inspiration for us. So for example, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he was thrown in the fire, but yet he did not leave his faith. And then what happened? Even when Jibreel came to help him, he said, Hasbunallah, Allah is enough for me. I don't need your help. Allah's help is enough for me. Subhanallah. Look at the story of Musa alayhi salam. He's standing before the water, and Fir'aun is coming from behind. And as the people around him are giving up hope, he says, Kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. My Lord is with me. He will guide me. Look at the magicians who believed in Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun threatened to kill them. And what did they say? La dair, no harm. Inna ila rabbina raji'un. We're going to return to our Lord anyway. So learn these stories, reflect on them, review them, so that you can have strength in faith. When you're becoming weak, you get strength. You find stability and firmness. Another important thing is that struggle hard in the way of Allah. And this means that, you know, sometimes it's not easy to make time, sit down, open the Quran, recite the Quran. You know, you really have to struggle against yourself, your nafs, but strive. Sometimes it's not easy to recite Quran properly. You know, you have to slow down, you have to pay attention to every letter. It may be hard for you because, maybe there's an issue with your throat, something. But strive. Just because something is difficult, it doesn't mean that we quit. No. Sometimes wearing the hijab is incredibly hard, very hard. But remember, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive in our way, we will definitely guide them to our paths. So strive in the way of Allah, and Allah will continue to guide you. And then keep busy in doing good things. And ask yourself, no matter what you're doing, that is this something that is good? Is this something that is worth my time and effort? How can I improve it? How can I do it in a way that is pleasing to Allah? Maybe I can correct my intention. Maybe I can correct my manner. Maybe as I'm engaged in this work, I continue to remember Allah. I continue to make dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is, but if they had done what they were instructed, it would have been better for them and a firmer position for them in faith. And when you obey Allah, then this is something that strengthens you in your faith. And then, وَإِذَا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Then we would have given them from ourselves a great reward. And then we would have guided them to the straight path. So how do you get guidance on the straight path? When you Obey Allah when you keep busy in doing good things. And also be mindful of Allah and guard what Allah has obligated, because the Prophet ﷺ said, احفظِ الله يحفظك. Guard Allah and Allah will guard you. What does it mean by guarding Allah? Meaning guard what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on you, what Allah has obligated on you, and then Allah will guard you, your body, your mind, your family, your property, but most importantly, your deen. Allah will protect that. And then do good, whatever or how little it may be. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the ability, the willingness to do something good, then don't belittle it. Do it anyway. Because one good deed leads to another. Hisham bin Urwa, he reported from his father, he said that when you see someone doing something good, then realize that there is a string of good deeds behind that particular good deed. And a person doesn't just randomly does a major good deed or any good deed. No, before you do any good deed, there were a number of other good deeds that you did. So for example, if a person is reciting Quran, for instance, a juz a day, how does that happen? Randomly? No, this is because a person was in the habit of reciting Quran even before. Yes, it may have been a little on a daily basis, but it was something because of which they were able to recite more Quran. And he said, when you see someone doing something bad, then realize that there are many sisters of this evil. And this is not a unique occurrence. There were many other sins that the person did before, which led to this sin. So remember that one good deed leads to another good deed. This is how you have stability on the right path, that you do good, and that good will lead you to another good, which will lead you to another good. And at the same time, do not belittle sins. Ibn al-Qayyim said that sins are like wounds. Wounds, or for example, an infected boil or sore, you know, on the skin. Imagine how painful that is. And he said, how many wounds there are that lead a person to death and destruction? Subhanallah. Any a person can get injured, and then that injury, is a wound, and that wound gets infected, and then there's, high fever and complications, because of which a person can literally die, literally. So he said, the one who wishes to be steadfast, then it does not befit him that he belittles sins, or that he finds joy in committing sins, or that he makes a pile of minor sins, because sins are destructive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. We destroyed them because of their sins. Allahu Akbar. We destroyed them because of their sins. So do not belittle sins. Do not find joy in committing sins. Another important thing is keep good company. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told in the Quran, "Wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal 'ashiyyi yuriduna wajha." That remain in the company of those people who call upon their Lord in the morning and in the evening seeking his face. Remain in their company. Because when you will remain in their company, what will happen? You will increase in faith. You will increase in hope. And Ibn Qayyim said about his teacher that there would be times when we would be filled with fear. And, you know, fear leads to negative thoughts, sometimes negative thoughts about Allah even. And he said that we would be in such a state and we would go to our teacher. And at times, you know, we would just see him and he would begin talking, and that would remove all of our fear and our negative thoughts. And it would in fact convert our condition into that of strength and conviction and satisfaction. Subhanallah. And sometimes, you know, when you're alone in your head literally, you only have your own thoughts to hear, your own negative thoughts to hear, then what happens? You get trapped in them. So when you keep righteous company and you hear them say good things, positive words, even if they're not directly advising you, they're just talking about their day, or they're talking about their thoughts or their plan of action. What does that do? It fills you with hope. It inspires you. It encourages you. So it's very important that we keep good company, righteous company. You know, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he would say, Ijlis bina nu'min sa'a. That come sit with us, let us believe for an hour. Meaning, come, let's sit together and talk about something good so that we revive and strengthen our faith. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, you know, he would also say this, and then he would make dua, Allahumma zidni imanan wa yaqeenan wa fiqhan, that, oh Allah, increase me in iman, in conviction, and in understanding. And you see, the benefit of keeping good company is that every believer is the mirror of his believer. So, you know, a good person will help you see your good qualities, all right, and also areas where you need improvement. Because sometimes, you know, we have a lot of self-doubt, a lot of doubt, or we really undermine, you know, our potential, or we discredit ourselves constantly. We don't believe that we have any good quality. Sometimes, you know, we are trapped in the cycle of negativity. So a righteous friend, gives you encouragement and assures you that, you know, you are capable, you are able to do good things. You know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't just see faults, you also see good things, right? So likewise, a good friend will direct you to recognizing your potential and your good qualities for which you can praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And they will also help you identify your errors, your mistakes, so that you can improve. Another important thing is, please watch your tongue. Keep tight reins on your tongue. Be careful about what you say when you're angry, when you're hurt, when you're overloaded with work, when you're struggling. Be very, very careful. Do not say wrong, negative things about your parents, about your loved ones, about your children, about your employer, about your co-workers, about your helpers, about your Lord. Do not say wrong, negative, bad things. Because when a person begins to say negative things, bad things, then what happens? You never know. That might be a time of acceptance of supplications, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that negative thing your reality. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه. The iman of a slave cannot be correct until his heart is correct, until his heart is steadfast. And he said the heart cannot be correct, it cannot be steadfast until his tongue is steadfast, until his tongue is correct. So keep a tight control on your tongue. Learn to remain silent in situations where you do not need to talk, where you do not need to offer your golden advice. Learn to remain silent and not bother people, not offend them, not injure their feelings, and not make their life difficult for them. Learn to keep silent when you need to be silent. And keep a control on your tongue so that you know what to say, when to say, how much to say, in which manner you should say. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct your tongue. Saddid lisani. That, oh my Lord, correct my tongue. Keep it straight. Another important thing is that keep holding yourself accountable. And keep striving to discipline yourself. And don't think that, did something to discipline yourself, you know, when you were young or 5 years ago, and that is sufficient. No, this is an ongoing journey. Muhammad ibn Munkadir said that I have spent 40 years in fighting against my nafs. I have struggled for 40 years to discipline my nafs. Allahu Akbar, 40 years. Hasan al-Basri said that the believer continues to watch over himself, and he continues to hold himself accountable for the sake of Allah. And on the day of judgment, the account of such people will be easier. Why? Because they already held themselves accountable. And those who do not hold themselves accountable, who don't discipline themselves, who don't strive against themselves, then what will happen? On the day of judgment, their account will be harder. So, for example, if you strive against yourself to discipline yourself, you will check how much you are talking, right? You will check how much you are eating, in which way you are looking at people and things like that, what words you are selecting. And when you are careful, you protect yourself from a lot of mistakes and errors. But when you're not careful, you're careless, you don't keep a check on yourself, you let yourself loose, then you end up injuring this person and that person again and again and again, and you end up accumulating so many wrong things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Certainly, the person who purifies himself has succeeded. Now remember that there are certain things that become an obstacle on the path of guidance. They prevent us from becoming steadfast and firm on the right path. And what are these things? These are following desires. Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Do not follow the desire because it will mislead you from the way of Allah. Which desire? Wrong desire. For example, the desire to eat something while you're fasting. Don't follow that. Don't follow that. Likewise, the desire to give someone an earful when you're upset at them. Don't follow that desire. The desire to look at something that is not appropriate to look at. Don't follow that desire. So, لَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Forgetting the verses of Allah. Moving on from the Qur'an. Yani, a person detaches himself from the book of Allah. There was once a time when they were connected with the book of Allah, and now they leave it. Then we learn in the Quran, the person who فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan follows that person, and that person becomes of those who are misguided. Then, عُجْب, yani, when a person is very impressed with themselves, that, oh, I have done this and this and this, I have accomplished such and such and such, I am a good person, I'm a righteous person. This is a huge mistake. This prevents a person from striving to become better, from improving themselves, because they're satisfied with their present condition. And what will happen now? They will not bother to improve, so they will actually fall backward. The colorful things of this world, they are also a huge obstacle on the right path. Bad company is also a huge obstacle on the right path. Now, when a person is steadfast on hidayah, on the right path, then what are the benefits? The benefits are that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them abundant blessings. وَأَلَّوِ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from fear, from grief, from regret, from sadness. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the company, the friendship of the angels. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And the angels inspire good, positive thoughts in them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And especially at the time of death, the angels welcome such a person. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. They give him good news. And also when a person is steadfast and they spend their life, many years, in obedience to Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that the white hair of the believer are a light. Allahu Akbar. So if you develop gray hair in Islam, white hair in Islam, then we learn in hadith that for every white hair, a person receives a good deed and his rank is raised. Allahu Akbar. And if a person continues to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he leaves this world, then we learn in a hadith that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that you are the messenger of Allah. And I pray salah, 5 daily prayers, and I fast in the month of Ramadan, and I pray in it. I give zakat. Then where will I be on the day of judgment? In which group? In which category? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever dies in this way, meaning on this path, doing these things, kana min as-siddiqina wash-shuhada. He will be among those who are truthful and among the martyrs, meaning in the highest, high ranks of paradise. Allahu Akbar. So we need to do our best to remain guided, but we can only be guided if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us guidance and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us in guidance. So we need to continue to make dua. So the du'as that we can make, first and foremost, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, guide us to repentance, guide us to improvement, guide us in every aspect, every matter of our lives. Teach us more things, better things. Give us willingness to obey you. Give us the ability to obey you. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Another dua we should make, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. That our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you have guided us, and grant us from yourself mercy. Indeed, you are the bestower. You see here, we're asking Allah for special mercy, and He grant us from yourself mercy, because the mercy of Allah, that is the greatest, and that is the best, and it includes every good thing of this life and the next life. Rahmah includes iman, tawheed. It includes obedience, different acts of obedience. It includes ease in earning our livelihood. It includes safety and health, well-being, physical and mental. It includes sufficiency in this life. It includes ease in life and ease at the time of death and ease in the grave and ease on the day of judgment. And ultimately, Jannah is Allah's mercy. Anti rahmati. So wahab lana min ladunka rahma. Grant us your special mercy. And remember that it is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that a person is guided to faith, that a person has taqwa, that a person is able to have the special friendship of Allah. So we should pray that Ya Allah, grant us from yourself special mercy. And innaka antal wahhab, Allah is the bestower of gifts. What gift are we asking for in this dua? The gift of guidance, the gift of steadfastness on guidance, and special mercy, great mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. Another dua we should make, فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. That O Creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my protector in this world and in the hereafter. Cause me to die a Muslim and join me with the righteous. This is the dua of Yusuf alayhi salam, where he is first of all acknowledging that every good thing in his life was because of Allah, because Allah is the one who created everything. And Allah, you are my friend in this life and in the next life, because everyone in our lives, remember, they're temporary. Spouse, children, good friends, parents, whoever they are, they're temporarily with us. Who is always, always with us? Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal akhirah. So we ask Allah, tawaffani musliman. Make me die as a Muslim in a state while I am in submission to you. And in the hereafter, join me with the righteous. Keep me among their company, which is, of course, in Jannah. Another dua we should make. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra wa tawaffana muslimin. That our Lord pour upon us patience and let us die as Muslims in submission to you. This is the dua that the magicians of Fir'aun made after they believed in Musa alayhi salam, and Fir'aun threatened to kill them all. So they made dua that they understood that Fir'aun was a tyrant who was going to torture them, who was going to make their life very, very, very difficult and painful. So they asked Allah that, Ya Allah, you pour patience on us so that we are able to remain steadfast in the face of all of these difficulties. And sometimes it happens with a person that you find yourself surrounded by trials. And you try to stabilize yourself. And then what happens? Another test, another trial, another difficulty. So ask Allah, Ya Allah, pour down patience on me. Give me steadfastness and cause me to die as a Muslim. that when I leave this world, I am in a state of Islam, submission to you. Another dua we should make, Allahumma tawaffana muslimin, wa ahyina muslimin, wa alhiqna bis salihin, ghayra khazaya, wala maftuneen. That, O Allah, cause us to die as Muslims, and cause us to live as Muslims, and join us with the righteous who are neither disappointed nor afflicted, or join us with the righteous without having been humiliated or afflicted. Yani, cause us to die as Muslims. First of all, what this means is that I am a Muslim until the end of my life. Yani, for all my life, until the last moment of my life also, I am in submission to you. And then, wa ahyina muslimin. Keep me alive as a Muslim. Keep us alive as Muslims. Yani, for as long as you allow me to live, Ya Rab, allow me to live in a state of submission to you. And then, وَأَلْحِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ, in the hereafter, join me with the righteous, because الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ, a person will be with those whom he loves. And then, join me with them in a state that is غَيْرَ خَزَايَا وَلَا مَفْتُونِينَ, while we have not been humiliated. Any, how is a person humiliated that they end up disobeying Allah? Because of which they will be punished in the next life, in the hereafter. That is the greatest humiliation, that a person is punished on the Day of Judgment. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. The person who is admitted in hell, then that person is truly humiliated. And then وَلَا مَفْتُونِينَ. مَفْتُونِينَ, who is مَفْتُون? The one who is put in fitna, in temptation, in this world. And they fail. And as a result of that, they're put in fitna, in punishment, in hell. So allow us to enter paradise, basically, safe and sound. Allow us to join the righteous company in paradise, safe and sound. Another dua, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala Deenik, O Turner of the Hearts, make my heart firm on your religion. And as I mentioned earlier, the Prophet ﷺ would make this dua a lot. A lot. His wife, Salama, reported that. So imagine how frequently he would make this dua. So this should be a dua that we should also make a lot. Make it in your sajda. Make it before salam, before ending your prayer. Make it in witr. Make it in the last third of the night. Ya Rab, you make my heart firm on your religion. Don't let it veer off the right path. Don't let it slacken and weaken and give up and quit. No, Ya Rab, keep me firm. Keep my heart firm on the straight path. Because if the heart is firm, then everything else is fine. Another dua, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. That, O Allah, changer of the hearts, turn, direct our hearts to your obedience. Here, musarrif al-qulub, musarrif, tasrif is to change, like the tasrif al-riyah, to change the direction of the wind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. So just like that, the direction of the heart also changes. So, sarif qulubana, change the direction of our heart to what? To your obedience. And the Prophet ﷺ would also make this dua a lot. That my heart is always turning towards your obedience. It is always changing from a different state toward the state of obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Another dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. That, O Allah, I ask you for guidance. I ask you for huda. I ask you for tuqa, for piety. Huda, guidance, and keep me firm on guidance. Give me the ability to do what pleases you. Increase me in guidance. Now remember, recall to mind all of the different types and levels of guidance. Everything is included in that. And then, I ask you for tuqa. Tuqa is piety, taqwa, that a person is able to stay away from sin. Wal afaf, chastity, especially, protect me from zina, different forms of zina. Whether it is the zina of the eyes, that protect me from listening to, from looking at things that are sinful. Zina of the ears, ya Allah, protect me, grant me chastity. And also I ask you for ghina, for sufficiency. Ghina means wealth, يعني give me sufficient wealth that makes me يعني independent of people. And then غنى is also real richness, which is the richness of the heart, satisfaction, that whatever I have, I am satisfied with it, that I am not greedy for, you know, I do not become the slave of dinar and dirham, etc. Grant me contentment and richness. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah loves a slave who is pious, who is free of want, meaning who is content. Yani, التقي الغني, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the slave who is like that. So, O Allah, we ask you for huda, for piety, for chastity and sufficiency. Another dua, Allahumma hdini wa saddidni. O Allah, guide me and make me adhere to the straight path. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this dua to Ali radiallahu anhu. And he said to him that when you mention guidance, meaning when you say ihdini, keep in mind the straight path. And ya Allah, guide me to the straight path, along the straight path, on the straight path, until the end. And he said, when you mention saddidni, then keep in mind sadad al-sahm, the straightness of the arrow. Meaning when you shoot an arrow, you want the arrow to reach its target, right? To hit the mark. So just like that, you ask Allah that, ya Allah, make me straight on the right path, that I do the right thing. I make the right choices. I use the right words. You know, for example, in speech also there's sadat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say words which are correct, straight, correct, not wrong. So just like that, our actions are in need of sadat, of straightness. You know, for example, you cook something and you misread a step, you misunderstand a step, and you, of course, you don't follow it. So then what happens to the final product? It's not as it was supposed to be. And just like that, if we are praying salah and we don't pray correctly, then we're missing the mark. Our salah is not proper. So here we see that we're asking Allah, saddidni, keep me straight, make me adhere to the straight path, give me sadat, correctness in my actions, in my words, in all of the choices that I make. Another dua we should make is Allahumma. Can you please scroll quickly? I'm going to make sure I say the same dua. Allahumma rabba Jibreel wa Mikaila wa Israfil, fatir as-samawati wal-ard, alim al-ghayb wal-shahada, anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. Allahumma hdini lima ikhtulifa fihi min al-haq, innaka tahdi man tashaa'u ila siratin mustaqim. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua at the time of tahajjud. And he would begin his Qiyamul Layl with this dua. So these days, especially as you are performing Qiyamul Layl, begin your salah with this dua. What is this dua? It means, O Allah, Lord of Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, and these are all great angels. O Creator of the heavens and the earth, O Knower of the seen and the unseen, you are the one who will judge between your servants in that matter which they have disputed, meaning in all matters that people differ in, you are the one who makes the final judgment. So, O Allah, you guide me to the truth by your leave in that which people have differed. You guide me to the truth, because sometimes, you know, in so many different opinions, what happens is that you get confused. You don't know what is right, what is wrong. So, Ya Allah, in all of these differences, guide me to the haqq. إِنَّكَ تَهْدِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. You guide whomsoever you will to the straight path. Another dua we make, اللهم لك أسلمت وبك آمنت وعليك توكلت وإليك أنبت وبك خاصمت. اللهم إني أعوذ بعزتك لا إله إلا أنت أن تضلني. أنت الحي الذي لا يموت والجن والإنس يموتون. O Allah, it is unto you that I surrender myself. I affirm my faith in you and put my trust in you and turn to you in repentance. And with your help, I have fought my adversaries. O Allah, I seek refuge in you with your power. There is no God but you, lest you lead me astray. Ya Allah, do not send me astray. You are the ever-living who does not die, while the jinn and mankind die. Another dua, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-isyan wa ja'alna min al-rashidin. Allahumma tawaffana muslimin wa ahyina muslimin wa alhiqna bis-salihin ghayra khazaya wala maftunin. O Allah, make us love belief and adorn our hearts with it. Make us hate disbelief, deviance, and rebellion. Place us among the rightly guided. O Allah, make us die as Muslims, and make us live as Muslims, and join us with those who are rightly guided, those who are righteous, who are neither disappointed nor afflicted. Allahumma zayyinna bizinatil iman, waj'alna hudata muhtadeen. O Allah, dress us with the beauty of faith, and make us guides who are upon correct guidance. Make us rightly guided, who are on the right guidance, and make us also those who are a means of guidance for others. Ameen. Another dua we should make. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartaddu, wa na'iman la yanfadu, wa murafaqata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallama fi a'la jannatil khuld. O Allah, I ask you for faith that does not go away, and bliss that does not run out, and companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest garden of eternity. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was once reciting the Quran in Salah in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him making dua. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he remarked, Is'al tu'ta, is'al tu'ta, ask and you shall be given, ask and you shall be given. And then he said that whoever wishes to learn the Quran properly, then he should learn, he should see how Ibn Mas'ud recites the Quran. So when the companions heard the Prophet ﷺ praising Ibn Mas'ud like this, the next day, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to him and he asked him that, what were you asking Allah? What dua were you making? So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned this dua, that, O Allah, I ask you for iman that does not go away, and bliss, any permanent joy that will never run out. And I ask you for the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest garden of eternity. And it is this dua for which the Prophet ﷺ said, Is'al tu'ta, is'al tu'ta. And this is a dua you should ask, and yes, you shall be given. Because what was he asking for? Such faith that does not go away. La yartaddu. And this is the kind of iman that we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Because this iman is the best kind of iman in which there is no doubt. And then he's asking not just for Jannah. Look at this, he's asking for such bliss, such blessings and enjoyment that will never run out. Inna hadha la rizquna ma lahu min nafad. This is our sustenance, meaning sustenance that Allah will give to the people of paradise, which will never run out. Ma indakum yanfad. What you have in the world will end. Wa ma indallahi baq. What is with Allah will remain, meaning what is in paradise will be forever, for eternity. And then look at the companionship that he is asking for. I ask you for the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest garden of eternity. Any paradise which is of highest levels and which is for eternity. Allahumma ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.